here with you.
You know, what had it been? About a week ago, I get a text from my dad, Marty Udall, and he's like, hey, do you want to preach next Sunday? I was like, one of the first times, right? My first reaction was, no, I don't want to preach next Sunday. I got too much going on in my life right now. It's a busy week. I don't want to put together another lesson. But then I took the Carlton Ski, rationale. It's like, when you feel like not doing a lesson, and you're asked to do a lesson, then you better preach that lesson. And I was like, you know what? I kept hearing Carl in my head. I was like, yeah, probably, you know what? Amen, I'll do it. Let's do it. And so today, the title of our lesson is Authentic. And I want to start things off with all of you by saying this. Dang it, I love y'all. Y'all are so awesome. We've been through a lot together over the years, but we're still standing firm with one another. Today I look forward to sharing with you my heart, for better or for worse. Things I feel God's put on my heart to share, and hoping it's a good mix of encouragement, love, and maybe some challenges too. Just wanted to get that one off my chest before jumping in today. But I don't know about you, but for me, I've been finding some encouragement in our current series. Promises of God. Shows you how much it's on my heart. You know? Promises of God, I've been super encouraged by it. So I know when I get caught up in the nitty-gritty details of my life, I can lose sight of the bigger picture and what is happening. And sometimes I forget that God's got promises, that He cares for me, He wants to see me flourish spiritually. I can get fixated on the weekly bills coming in, on the snow I do not want to shovel. That happened this week, where I got a call from Chrissy Frost. She's like, hey, do you want to come play floor hockey with the boys? I was like, you know what? I need to get active. Let's do it. And I'm 27, man. So I was out playing. It was good 3-on-3 hockey. And I was like, man, my lungs were on blast. And I was like, I was like, man, that was fun. I was exhausted. I went to bed that night. I woke up. I was like, bro, I can't move. What's wrong with me? I got to do some stretches or something. Kelsey's laughing at me. He's like, you're getting old. I was like, bro, that's not good. I'm 27. I got to get my life together. And so I look up. And that was the morning. I look at my window. I was like, oh, snow. And when Tuesdays, Thursdays, I get to work from home, I was like, well, Kelsey's going to be like disappointed if I manage to work from home today and not shovel the driveway. So I got to shovel that driveway. And I was like, shoveling away, getting things out, cleared out. And we have this pillar that's to the right of our lawn, which is our neighbor's. And he's done a lot of hard work on that pillar. It's pure cement, and he's put like different types of layering brick on it to kind of make it look nice. But like, it's kind of been hit by snowplows in the past. Things have broken off. And so he's really, it's unfortunate, but he's, super loves this pillar, right? And so whenever snow falls, I shovel things and I try to clear off the pillar for him so that snowplows can see the pillar and not hit it. This day I forgot to do that. And so he gets out, he's out clearing the pillar. After I just shoveled everything, things were good. He's shoveling the pillar, throwing snow back in my driveway. I was like, bruh, what are you doing? That hurt my feelings. But I was like, we have such a fun relationship, love him to death. But it was, I thought it was comical. Anyways, that's my shoveling thing of the day. So this snow I don't want to shovel. I can't get bogged down by the normal problems that someone faces every day. For me personally, having the series at this time of year has been super helpful to remember to see beyond myself and know there are greater plans happening beyond me, and to recognize my purpose and mission as a disciple, which is to simply walk with God on a daily basis in order to stay above the corruption of this world and to allow and share my example with those around me to help them know there's something else. There's something more than this. I sometimes also just get really frustrated with myself when I do get heavily focused on here and now, on the physical. So, and I don't necessarily feel guilty. I just get annoyed because I'm like, I keep being self-reliant. I know it doesn't work, but I keep being self-reliant. And it wears on your soul. You're just like, being self-reliant always wears on you physically, emotionally, and I get frustrated. I'm like, why do I keep doing this, man? It's exhausting to live like this. But things like these series help me know that I need to use God to fill up the infinite part of my being instead of using things that are material and finite. Yeah. ultimately, when I realized those times of drifting, there's other things I like to do. Obviously, you can have sermons that can help prompt you. But things also help me is I go to different places in my head where things were just more simple, where things just made sense. I don't know if you have those times in your walks with God when, you know, do you have those times in your walks with God where you just float on clouds? Life is good. Nothing can go wrong. And you wish you could just take that in a bottle and just keep it with you. You know, I have a couple of those times in my life. And I'm actually going to share about those times right now. You want to hit the next slide there, Sanjay? There you go. Beautiful. Authentic. This is where I got the title of my lesson today. Authentic 2010 was a teen camp that I attended at the age of 18. Almost 10 years ago now. And today I'm going to share more rather than preaching, because I feel at times that's just what we need. So my goal today is just to be as real and vulnerable with you as I can be, to inspire all of us as we move forward into our week. I'll be sharing some scripture and kind of explaining what I'm going through, but for the most part, my goal is to allow y'all to relax, be encouraged, and also be challenged. So the reason why this camp meant so much to me is it spoke a very harsh and real truth to me at that time. At that time, I had been a Christian for, you know, coming up on 2 years at that point. My first year was awesome. My first year as a disciple was awesome. I was in high school. Things were going well. Second year didn't go great. And I started giving into insecurities. And one of my weaknesses, it's always kind of dogged me, but more so when you're younger and you kind of learn as you grow older to grow out of it and learn how to fight it, was women. I got my security from women a lot. And so there's, you know, guys in the world that, you know, will kind of lead women on to what they do. When you're a kingdom kid and a disciple, you learn to do it righteously. And what ended up happening is I ended up talking to a lot of different sisters, and they all thought I liked them. I just maybe didn't like them, but I thought they were interesting people. You know, and it was a course of over a summer, I was just like leading on sisters without realizing it. And I was like, shoot, I got rebuked by my disciple. He's like, bro, what are you doing? Like, you're hurting a lot of people, you're doing this. And I was like, you're right. You know, and so I was feeling it. So I went to end of summertime is when teen camp hits. I was like, my focus is going to be completely on me and God, reconciling my relationship with God and getting focused. In Galatians 6:3, I want to hit it up, summed me up a lot going into that camp. If anyone thinks they are something when they are not, they deceive themselves. The problem with me is I acknowledged sin in my life, but it was like kind of like the easy sin to like kind of reconcile with, but not be the real in-depth Josh Udall I was not reconciling with. And for example, how that happened was, I will never forget the first D group of that camp. It was right after our first lesson, which looked heavily at David's sorrow and the anthem he wrote about his sin in Psalm 51. We went into that D group, and the men in that group were just pouring out their life and being real about the junk that they've been going through and allowed to corrupt their life. And it was a moving time. But apparently it wasn't moving enough. Because I did get open about how I, you know, was annoyed about myself that I'd been up to that summer kind of struggling with. But there were like other details that other guys were getting into that I was not getting into. And my D group leader could tell. But he let it go. He's like, all right, let other guys share after me. And as the D group was finishing up, he then turned, he's like, hey man, I appreciate you guys sharing, you know. It takes a lot to share, you know, especially when you guys don't really know. I really appreciate that, but I want to talk to Josh for a second. Friend of 6 or 7 guys. And he's just like, bro, you think you're good, but I can tell you're not good. The fact you think you're good, those words that come out of my mouth, I'm like, yeah, I'm good. It's a struggle with this stuff, but yeah, I'm good. He's like, you're not good. You're prideful. The fact you think you're good is absolute garbage. And you're downright prideful to think that you're better. Essentially, you're lifting yourself above this group right now. And you need to start being real with where you're at. And that hit me hard, obviously. But that was, you know, I just went through that day. I was like, dang, what's, you know, I really thought about it. We had the worship concert that night. And I just had to stop halfway through and went outside. I was like, oh my gosh, I really am prideful. I really am the worst. Oh my gosh, how am I doing this to God right now? And it was the beginning of an incredible camp. My focus was on me bettering my relationship and focus on God and really keeping it on Him. I remember Kevin Robbins giving an impassioned lesson about never quitting as a disciple of Jesus. It was okay to mess up. It was okay to sin. It was okay to be sad. It was okay to be angry. Okay to be defeated. But please, just never give up. And he read a poem called Don't Quit. And I wish I had that poem with me right now to read. It was awesome. But it was just, I remember being so moved by that. I remember the challenges given out throughout the week of examples painted of how our world puts on facades so people can seem a certain way, or the lies people tell themselves to keep them from feeling a certain way. It was a time where I saw a curtain kind of pulled back on the world, and that all the things that were so hyped up around me were actually not that great. They actually had a really destructive end to them. That eventually, it all kind of comes crumbling down. You know, living fast, whatever you're doing, it eventually has to stop at some point because no one can live at that level because we're not meant to. And what I learned is that as hard as it is to be transparent, being real is something that our world is so deprived of in this day and age, and they desire it. We're inundated with information. We're inundated with a lot of biased information because everyone has an agenda. It's really hard to see what's what and what's actually going on. In 2020, it's the hardest because we have these devices with us that, you know, when we're bored, that's me right here, you know, there's no even good reason to look at it, but you're just looking at it because it's just something to do, and then you just keep reading all this stuff, and we're just inundated, and people starting to see that things are just, people are fake. We live in a fake world, and we have a Father who offers authenticity. He offers realness. And that's what I learned. My favorite passage is pretty much all of John chapter 8. But we'll look at John 8, 42-47. And this is kind of Jesus talking to, you know, the religious people. People who are God's people, the Jews. And Jesus said to them, "If God were your Father, you would love me. For I have come here from God. I have not come on my own. God sent me. Why is my language not clear to you? Because you are unable to hear what I say. You belong to your Father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies." Next slide. "Yet because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. Can any of you prove me guilty of sin? I'm telling the truth. Why don't you believe me? Whoever belongs to God hears what God says. The reason you do not hear is that you do not belong to God." Go back to the first slide. Oh, sorry, that was right. Sorry. The first scripture. The first half of the scripture. There you go, perfect, my bad. The one that really hit me the hardest of this passage is this Jesus being real. Like, it's spooky, man. You know, even in today's day and age, right? Like, you talk to a group, like, can you imagine dealing with a group of people who think a certain way, and you're just sharp to the point with them? That's scary. Like, Jesus was bold. So bold to tell the truth and help them understand what God really wanted of them. It says, "You belong to your father, who's the devil. It ain't God. It's Satan. He's a child of Satan." That's, wow. Yeah, that's scary. But it was real because they were so caught up in their religious hypocrisy that they were missing out on the true heart of what it meant to follow God. True heart of love. Reason why Jesus went so hard on these homies and these people is because Jesus has always valued authenticity. And that's the message that resonated with me and always has. I serve a God who is true, a God who's unwavering, a God who cares, and a God who expects the best of us. There are points that woke me up to how prideful I was and can still be, and the points that allowed me to see how real God is. What I learned is I get to serve a God who's real, who's authentic, and that as his church, reflecting him, should be just as authentic. Having a church culture that's fake, and we just come in and say, you know, hi, yeah, everything's good, it's not good. Sometimes they are really good, that's awesome. But the people, you know, when you come in, when things are just, your life's falling apart, but you're just, all is good, that doesn't reflect God. That's not a reflection of Jesus. God desires to be real with one another, desires to be honest with what we're going through. We need not be scared to speak honest brutal, loving truth to one another, because that is true love. If we're not choosing authenticity, then why are we even here? I'd much rather sleep in on my Sunday mornings, if I'm being honest. And so in the spirit of being honest and real, you know, as Josh Udall, one of my biggest struggles in life is purity. I struggle with that immensely. Operative word is struggle. It's always a fight, but Satan uses it to tempt me. I strive to get daily accountability on it. But it's time, there's been times it's been tough for me to share, because I share with certain people in my life, and you know, there's been times way back when it was the toughest was, you know, but you're seen as a leader. You shouldn't be struggling with that. You're married. You shouldn't be struggling with that. Or my personal favorite, thanks for sharing. So how about that game last night? You know, different hearts, different situations, but at the end of the day, it's isn't real. It's dismissive on all accounts, and not wanting to deal with your brother's situation when he's going through. You know, and you know, it was this time last year, Kelsey and I were going through a very, very tough time in our marriage. Probably the hardest that we've ever had to deal with. And so for a solid couple months, I didn't want to come to church. I didn't want to be here. But I knew my soul needed it, and I pushed to be here and to feed my soul with God's word. You know, and there was one specific Sunday I remember where my head was not here. I was like, I did not want to be here. And you could tell it all over my face as I'm a person who wears their emotions on their sleeve. And, as soon as the service finished, I left. I got out of here. I just went, got in the car and prayed. I was asking God, what's going on? Why is this happening? What can we do to fix it? I'm feeling so much pain. And there's a good-hearted individual, I understood where they're coming from, but there's just the tactic that wasn't great. They saw I was downcast during the service, and they saw that I was gone, and they went to Manny. Like, hey Manny, what's going on with Josh? And Josh and Manny's like, he's just going through a tough time right now, he's just feeling some stuff, and you know, if you could love up on him, that'd be awesome. And I get where the person was coming from, it was just attacked in a weird way. But the response was, you just need to tell them to get happy. We're here at church. We're here to be happy and loving each other. You know, I think you should tell them that. Again, the words were wrong, but I get where they're coming from, where we need to be coming to give to each other and love up on one another, not sulk on ourselves. But if I'm being honest, I'm Josh Udall. I'm human. But I come here every Sunday morning, give you guys my all, give God my all when I'm leading songs. It hurt, if I'm being honest. Just ask me how I'm doing. Just ask me how I'm doing. Don't tell someone else to come talk to me. My reaction is, if that's the kind of church of just being happy, this is not going to be, I don't want any part in that. Because that's not godly. It's not righteous. It's not what Jesus taught. We as people, we crave authenticity. We see it in the media all the time. As soon as someone's just real with us, oh man, we melt. We absolutely melt. That's what God offers us. So you need not be afraid to ask the gut level, honest questions if all is good. And being men and women who are humble to such a question as well. You know, I'm going to hate myself for this later, but I'm going to start right here, right now, with all of you. All of you. Everyone in this room has permission, because apparently we need permission these days. If you see me off, and you see me maybe doing something questionable that you feel off about in your spirit, talk to me about it. You see me react to Kelsey in a certain way, talk to me about it. You see me get short with a brother or sister, talk to me about it. On the flip side of the coin, I'm going to trust that you will approach me in love and genuine concern. Challenge me from a place that you're prompted by God. I would love it if we could be a church that wasn't afraid of the uncomfortable. Not afraid of the tough conversations. Not afraid to be real. Not giving way to the that isn't my place mantra. Not giving away to, that's someone else's job mentality. That type of thinking costs lives. You know, there's a story Kelsey was telling me the other day that happened in the States, where a woman had recently been coming to work and was looking a little off. It then continued that she began arriving at work with bruises on her face. And you could clearly see something was going on. And then a couple of weeks later, the woman had stopped coming to work altogether. Later, they found out the woman had been killed by her partner. The police were interviewing some of the co-workers of this woman and asked, why didn't you do or say anything when you saw the bruises on her face? And the answer was unanimously, we just didn't think it was our place to do anything. Let us not be like this for our spiritual brothers and sisters. Look out for one another. Love each other. Love each other enough to allow things to get a little dicey at times. Because that's what creates the greatest bonds of all. The people I'm closest to are the ones I fought with. Just ask Lorenz. Yo, straight up, bro. Those are the people I'm the tightest with. Because we don't play church here. We strive to live out the real thing because we really believe that this is a matter of spiritual life and death. I'm sorry to those that are visiting if that scares you. But dang it, we'd be doing a disservice if we didn't let you know that we suck. That we're messed up, we mess up sometimes. But we have our hope that a God that loves us. And we try to do our best, amen.
That's right.
I'll go to the next slide. Perfect. That camp, again, back to finishing off my conclusion here. This was a powerful time for me to remind me what authenticity really was. So powerful that when I found I'm losing my way, I tend to think back to that camp and get myself back to the heart of this loving God for who he is, what he's offered me, and the rawness of heart he desires for me to have. You know, as I said, I went to that camp as a very messed up individual, you know, messing around with sisters and hurting their hearts because I'm an idiot. And there was one time where my focus was, I'm like, I'm not focused on any girls at this camp, it's not happening. But then one brother in my cabin is like, brother, there's this one girl I want to take out on a date. Can you please get a double? Like, find someone. And there was this one sister that was kind of popping in and out of my purview throughout the camp, but I kept trying to ignore. And I was like, okay, I'll ask her. And I was like so sheepish about it. I was like, hey, my brother wants to go on a date. Did you want to go with me and just kind of help him out, you know? And she was kind of like, that's a weird way of asking, but sure, I think. Which sounds good. And we went on that date, and this was the picture from that date. You know, years after this picture was taken, we would start dating. And then 3 years after that, we'd be married. And then 5 years after that, we would stand here now living in Halifax, Nova Scotia, simply trying to live for God and be authentic people he calls us to be.
Come on,
I don't think it was any coincidence that God used the most impactful camp of my life to introduce such an amazing woman. She would be my life partner, becoming a direct link to a major rededication to God in my life. A woman who has literally exemplified all the traits I discovered in God in 2010 that she also had. A woman whose uncompromising, firm convictions will not be shaken by stupidity and holds others to the standards set by Jesus the minute they say Jesus is Lord. I count myself lucky to be a disciple of Jesus. Thanks, buddy. I count myself lucky to be a disciple of Jesus. Dang right lucky to have married her. We've been through so much together, as you said. I only feel close to people if I actually fight with them. And man, we've been through our fights. And I'm very grateful that she still stands on my side, knowing how awful I can be at times. but also standing to see the amazing things happen. It reminded me of God's love in my life. Amen. This time, I'll call the song Ministry Forward. Amen. And call the same song.